I've actually had a lot of fun studying the Ten Commandments. Now, a lot of people would say, wow, you really are strange. But there is a lot of value in understanding the Ten Commandments, especially when you put them into their context, which is God up on top of the mountain writing this on tablets of stone so that he can take them down to the Israelites who had just been released from captivity, hundreds of years of captivity in Egypt. And when you put it in that context, you start to understand that the point, the real main reason for the first four commandments was because God wanted them to have a special relationship with him. I mean, they were his children. He had selected them through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then through Joseph, and through their captivity as they became more of a nation. God had already selected them. They were his. But the first thing that he needed to deal with, if you're going to free them from this Egyptian oppression, was they needed to know that he was their top priority. And so that's exactly what the first four commandments are all about. The first four commandments are about the vertical relationship that man has with God. And let me see if I have a slide for this. Nope, I don't. So the point of the first four commandments is that God wanted Israel to make him their priority. And if he is, then everything is going to go a whole lot better for them. If he is their only God and not one of many gods, if he isn't limited by their human understanding, meaning that they make idols and images and manufacture things in their own mind, if they are not doing that but are letting God be bigger than what you can imagine, if their verbalizations about God are truly giving him the glory and the honor that he deserves rather than taking his name in vain or misusing his name, if they are worshiping him on a regular basis, remembering that Sabbath day and keeping it holy, if God is really God, then he needs to be top priority. However, once God is a top priority, then his supremacy is established. And once that is done, then we need to shift our focus a little bit. And that's where we're at in our study of the Ten Commandments. You know, it's really interesting that the Ten Commandments can be divided into these two areas. You have the first four, which is our vertical relationship with God, and then the next six, which is our horizontal relationship with man. Where have you heard that before? Oh, yeah. Jesus, when he was asked about the greatest commandment, he said, the greatest commandment is this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one is like it, as equally as important, love your neighbor as yourself. All of the laws and the prophets hang on these. Could it possibly be that Jesus and God are the same? I know that's a rhetorical question. The fifth commandment, or the first one in dealing with our horizontal relationship with other human beings, is unique from all of the other commands because it is the only command that comes with a promise. And the scripture is really very clear on that, so let's just look at it because it appears frequently in scripture. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 just simply says, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16 says it this way, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And then later in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, as he is writing to the Ephesian believers, he says it this way, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. It can't be coincidence that all of them basically say the same thing. This commandment is mentioned eight more times in Scripture. 5 of those by Jesus himself. It is repeated more than any of the other commands. Apparently, it's pretty important. The main command is wrapped up in one word, and it is the first word that is mentioned every time. It's the word honor. Now, to be honest, this past week, even though I had a really good week, I struggled with this sermon. I told Brenda, as she was leaving on Friday, I said, "Boy, I hope that the Lord gives me some special words to preach, because I'm not." You know, sometimes when I'm studying a sermon, just the point and the focus and the direction of the sermon just comes, and I just know. But every day when I would look at this sermon, I would change it. Sometimes I would take out entire sections of the sermon because I just didn't like it. And then 2 days later, I'd put it back in because I didn't like the changes that I had made. So I struggled with this. And I tell you, I've thought about it and prayed over it. I think the reason is because when Jesus gave this command, he didn't give it to parents. It would have been so much easier to blast away at parents for not being good parents. Because I'd be preaching to myself, all of us, and Joe has already said it in his communion meditation, there isn't any of us that are perfect. All of us have sinned. That means that we all sin, even in our parenting. But this command is given to children. Honor your father and your mother. Gary Smalley describes honor as something that we don't just do with our mouth, but is something that we do with our whole body. Gary Smalley is he's been around a long time. He has done a lot of work with Focus on the Family. He has written lots of books, a real godly man. But he describes honor as something we do with our whole body. Our eyes light up, we raise our eyebrows, we gasp when someone important or extremely valuable to us enters the room. We can't wait to love on them. It's sort of like when a babysitter has a baby and then mom comes walking into the room and that baby is just like, "I can't wait to get to mom. I'm tired of this babysitter." And the whole body lights up, the smile, everything. And if you've ever had a colicky or a crying baby and you want to give that child to the mom or to the dad because you think that if that happens, the noise is going to quiet down. And there's a tremendous amount of value in that child's life. They respect that authority. They understand that that person is somebody who is safe. They are worthy of our full attention. And that's exactly what the word honor means. The Hebrew word for honor comes from the root word for heavy or weighty, and it likely refers to the days when they used to, rather than looking at a monetary denomination on a bill, they would weigh out money. So many pounds of gold meant that it this much money. Okay, the weightier the product, the more valuable it was. The heavier it was, the more intrinsic value it had. It was of greater importance. So to honor meant that you give something great weight or great importance. This command to honor actually harkens back to the days where God created Adam and Eve. And it didn't take them long to dishonor God, did it? God created Adam and Eve. He created Adam out of the dust. He created Eve out of the rib of the man. And he told them that they were supposed to work the ground, that they were supposed to honor him. They were supposed to live for him. They could even eat of the tree of life, just couldn't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the middle of the garden. Because in that day, when you do that, you will die, was his promise. And it didn't take long for Satan to convince Adam and Eve that not obeying God was in their best interest. And so they didn't obey God. They decided that the best thing for them was to know good and evil, because Satan had convinced them of that. And so that's exactly what they did. They went and they grabbed that fruit, whatever it was. They touched that tree. They dishonored God. Here, in a way, is children, Adam and Eve, dishonoring their parent, God. And it's kind of been perpetuated ever since. We have seen this spiritual decay of honor as children over generations continually dishonor the preceding generation. And it isn't just true of this generation, it happens with every generation. I don't care what generation it is, we look at the preceding generation, our parents' generation, and it is easy as kids to disrespect them, to not value them, to mock them. I don't know how many times I hear people, even on television, the comedians mocking the fact that their parents don't know anything about computers, they don't know anything about cell phones, they don't know anything about technology, and it has become a laughingstock. Oh, Mom, why can't you figure this out? It is so easy to do. It's a cell phone. But you know, the previous generation mocked their parents as well. And the generation before that mocked their parents. It is not a new thing. And it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. What was the problem that Adam and Eve's kids had with their parents? Cain ended up killing his brother. Do you think he was taught that? I don't think so. But apparently his parents' ideals and way of looking at things was just too old-fashioned. And so disrespect is easier than honor. Because after all, I want to be my own person. I want to do my own thing. Now to be fair, not every parent in this world has earned honor or earned respect. Some have abdicated their God-given role to others. Some have abused children. Some have left discipline to the police or to the schools or to the nannies or the babysitters or to the neighborhood. Even the whole concept of it takes a village to raise a child means that some parents can say, okay, village, take care of them. Instead of a parent saying, no, it's my responsibility to raise my child. Now, I get what they're saying, but it sort of gives us a loophole as parents. Some, sadly, have seen their children as disposable or inconvenient. And we are reaping the repercussions of abortion in our land. And so God gives this command to the children. Honor your parents. And I guess it makes sense because we're all children. It doesn't matter how old you are still a child. Even if your parents have passed away a long, long time ago, you are still theirs. We all have parents, and we are all commanded to honor them. But what if our parents don't deserve honor? What if they didn't earn our honor? What if they don't deserve our respect because they haven't lived up to our expectations? You know, the command is really pretty simple. Honor your father and mother in the Lord. It doesn't say honor your father and mother because they've earned it or because they deserve it or because they merited it. Or because they treated you well. It just says do it. Honor your parents. And it's hard. I'm not going to say that it's easy. Because there have been parents who have never shown love. They have never praised you. They have never said, I love you. They have never valued you. In fact, maybe you were even that child that your parent continuously said, I wish you were a girl. I wish you were a boy. I wish that we had never had you. I'm not saying it's easy to honor parents. And it's not easy for us to honor God. Because God does things that we don't get. We don't understand. I was picking up donuts. Okay, so you can all cheer. Yeah, there's going to be donuts. Yay! I was picking up the donuts and talking to the gal at the checkout, and I asked her how things were going. And she said, oh, things are going good. And I said, well, then that means you're not at death's doorstep, huh? And she said, well, not today. But she said, if I ever am at death's doorstep, boy, do I have a lot of questions for God. And I said, I'll bet you I can condense all of your questions down to one word. She said, what is that? And I said, it's the three-letter word, why? She said, yep, pretty much. Why, God? Why is there so much suffering? Why don't you seem to always hear my prayer the way I pray it? Why don't you do what I want? Why is there evil in the world? Why are there bad things? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad people seem to thrive? Why? I mean, we can come up with a million why questions. And all of them are designed to give us a loophole for not really believing in God, for not really trusting in Him, for not honoring Him, for not respecting Him. Because God, you don't do things the way I would do it. And it becomes a very convenient loophole for a lot of people to just say, well, if God's not going to answer my questions the way that satisfies me, how can I possibly honor that? God, you have not earned my respect. God doesn't need to earn your respect. The command doesn't say honor your parents if they've earned your respect. It says honor your parents. Simple, but difficult. You see, when children at a young age are allowed to view the ways of their parents as old-fashioned and out of touch and something to mock, then it's not hard for them to do the same with God. In the book of 1 Timothy, Timothy has something to say about this. Timothy says, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Those who refuse to value their parents or refuse to do everything they can to keep that parent-child relationship strong are considered sinners in the eyes of God. Because God created that system. Parent, child, God. It's a system that He created. This was a concern to Jesus. As I mentioned, Jesus used this command and repeated it 5 different times. One of them was in Matthew chapter 15. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 15. Because I want you to see how this is played out. It's the first book of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew chapter 15. You see, the Pharisees were accusing Jesus of breaking their religious traditions. But Jesus kind of turns that around and starts talking about the commands. And so I want you to kind of see this interplay. Matthew chapter 15, starting with verse 1. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. Of all the nerve. And Jesus replied, and why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? Okay, do you see the battle lines that are drawn up here? They're worried about their traditions, and Jesus is worried about the commands. For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might receive, might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God, he is not to honor his father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your traditions. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. And then Jesus looked at the crowds and continued his teachings. Do you see what Jesus is doing here? So many times we get so concerned about our traditions. We are in church worshiping God, thanking God, and praising God for all that he has done, for giving us his precepts and his rules and his laws. But when it comes to actually the rubber meeting the road, we're just not there. And neither were these Pharisees, and Jesus catches them on it. He says, you claim to honor your father and mother, because that's one of the commands. But if your father and mother are in need and you have money or something that is devoted to God, you're not pulling that back and saying, I have to take care of my folks. And he calls them hypocrites. And then he says, Isaiah was right. It's way easy to worship God with our lips than to worship God with our heart. It's way easier to say, oh yeah, the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, is important. It's way more difficult to actually do it from the heart. And some people might say, yeah, but every time I try to honor my father and my mother, they just throw it right back in my face. They hate God. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm just saying it's a command. Now, I don't want this sermon to be all about the negatives, the ways that we dishonor each other. Remember, this commandment does come with a promise. And I think it's good that it comes with a promise. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. This is part of the promise. What land was God giving them? He was giving them the promised land. Why? Because he promised it. Did he plan to be with them as they were in the promised land? Yeah, in fact, he was even going to be the one that was going to take out the enemies before them. So God was going to do their fighting for them. He was going to provide for them. This was frequently in the Old Testament. He says, you're going to harvest from vines you've never planted. You're going to farm land that you and receive a crop from land that you've never farmed. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to give you all of this. And I don't think that that was just so that the people would have of that day would have something good from God. I think it was sort of an archetype, if you will, or a way that God was going to say, okay, like I took care of Israel, I'm going to continue to take care of my people. The quality of your life is going to be much better if you are doing everything you can to honor your father and mother. Will they reciprocate? Maybe not. I don't know. Do they deserve it? Maybe not. But if we are honoring our father and mother, then we are taking a really big step in figuring out how to honor God. This is also a glimpse into eternity. If God is going to take care of us, it's not just going to be here on this earth. He's going to take care of us into eternity. Honor your father and mother. Honor your parents. When the Lord provides us with a place where honor and worship and reverence and value and worth are normal, we will be basking in his glory. That's a day that we should be looking forward to. That day when honoring one another will just come easy. Satan will not be there. And that will be our place where the Lord will just radiate his glory, and he is giving it to us. It's a difficult sermon because it is hard to love those who don't love us back. It is hard to honor those who maybe have not earned our respect. It is hard to love and forgive and show value to those who have not shown value to us. But that's not what the Lord asks of us. He doesn't ask this honor to be conditional. He just simply asks it to be done. I think that's probably one of the reasons why it needs so much prayer. Lord, help me honor my parents as you have honored me and as you want me to honor you. It's all about love and respect and serving the Lord with our best.